This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Baruchim haba, and welcome, everyone, to Kollel Agra DePirka, the Kew Garden Hills branch. And the learning should be with Chos Fuvah Shalema for my grandfather, Shimon Yeshua ben Sara, B'Sar Shachal Yisrael. Okay, so this week, we Baruch Hashem begin a new Sefer. We're coming off the heels of Chazak, Chazak, V'Nis Chazek. So we have Chizuk to begin the new Sefer of the fourth Sefer of the Torah. And this Sefer, which we refer to as Bamidbar in Shas, is often referred to as Chumash HaPekudim. For example, in Masechta Yuma, Daf Samach Esamabez, it says, U'be'asar shebechumash HaPekudim kari alpeh. This is referring to the Maftar on Yom Kippur. So instead of taking out another Sefer Torah, they would read it by heart. So this indicates that this Sefer is referred to as Chumash HaPekudim, the Book of Counting. Likewise, in the Gemara in Soita, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Oimer, Loi kedarach shechalukin mechumash HaPekudim chalukin ma'avnei Eifayt. Again, we find in Shas that the Sefer Bamidbar is referred to as Chumash HaPekudim. So what we have to try to understand is that, you know, a name is supposed to capture the essence of what something is all about. Is the counting of the Jewish people, which actually takes place twice in Sefer Bamidbar, once in Parshas Bamidbar and one in Parshas Pinchas, is this really the main? Is this really the most important and dominant theme of Bamidbar, that we should refer to the entire Sefer as counting, because this is the predominant and main subject of the Sefer? So in it begins, Zeh Sefer Nikra Befi HaMishnah Yuma Perek Zayin. This is what we're going to learn today comes from the Netziv's Psicha for Sefer Bamidbar. And the Netziv says, Zeh Sefer Nikra Befi HaMishnah Yuma Perek Zayin Va'oid Rabbi Chanin Ben Gamliel Soita Daf Lamed Vav Chumash HaPekudim. This Sefer is referred to in the Mishnah, as well as by Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel in Soita, the Book of Counting. V'nirsh, and also v'chein kasa b'hag. The b'hag likewise writes this. V'nirsham b'das rabbeiseinu inyan shnei ha-pekudim shabazah Sefer. It has been imprinted in the minds of our rabbis, the subject of the two countings of this Sefer, yoyser mishari dvarm shemichad mazah Sefer. More important than some of the other subjects of the Sefer. In other words, it's almost as if this is the dominant theme of the Sefer. K'may HaMeraglim, U'Berchas Bilam, V'Oid Harbe. There are many episodes and narratives in Bamidbar that we could have named the whole Sefer after. One might not have thought that counting was the most important subject. Mishum De'ikr Zehas. And so that's the question of the Netziv. Why refer to the entirety of the Sefer as a book that is predominantly about counting? And the Netziv says as follows: Mishum de'ikr zeh ha-sefer hu ha-machalif u-meshane halichos am Hashem b'chayei ha-olam me'oz shehigiyu le'aretz Yisrael min ha-derech shehoch b'amidbar. The main subject of Sefer Bamidbar is the transition of the nation of God in life, from being in the desert to Israel. In other words, there were two levels of existence of the Jewish people. There's the way they were conducted, how God conducted with them in the desert, which was completely miraculous. And there's the way that God dealt with them in Israel, which was Bedarach HaTeva. In the desert, they had Anane HaKavod, they had Man. Their wars were fought for them. Their food was provided miraculously. In Israel, they had to fend for themselves. Shebemidbar hayu misnagim b'midas tiferes. In the desert, they were conducted with the attribute of splendor, which means shehalach li min Moshe shu legamri lemala me'alichas hateva. They went with Moshe on their right side, which is completely above nature. But with Eretz Yisrael hochu b'derech hateva. But in Israel, they went with nature. B'sisrei hashgachas malchus shamayim baruchu. In the secrets of the divine providence of God. So in other words, in the desert, God conducted himself with the Jewish people. L'mala min ha'tam, in Eretz Yisrael, they fought their own wars, they provided, they tilled the soil, they worked the land. By the way, this all comes from the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. The Netziv was a very unique personality, in that, as we know, there are many different drachim in the Olam HaYeshivas. In some yeshivas, you know, they only learn sugyas. Sort of, so they'll learn Yevamis, and they'll learn Sarasara, say the Chaloisase, or, you know, they'll focus on the main pockets of lamdas. Other yeshivas, maybe in the Mir, they learn straight, but they'll focus more on sugyas. Still, not every yeshiva goes through the whole Masechta. In other yeshivas, they try to learn the whole Masechta. And Volozhin was unique in that their approach was to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, and the Netziv really expanded this approach to include, because the Netziv wrote a parish on Sifri, Sifra, Shiltis, and the Netziv even gave Shiurim in Chumash to his Talmidim. How many Rosh Yeshivas give Shiurim in Chumash? And actually, the Netziv's commentary on the Chumash comes from the Shiurim that he gave. Now, at what point in time did God transition the Jewish people from dealing with them supernaturally to allowing them to operate b'derech hateva? Says the Netziv, "V'zeh hashinoi hischil oidam b'amidbar." This change began while they were still in the desert, b'shnas ho'arboim, in the 40th year, like it's explained in Parshas Chukas. So al pizeh hashinoi, based on this change in the 40th year, in other words, in year 40. Then that is when the natural process started to begin. So based on this change, the wars the Jewish people fought with the Kananim and with Sichain were on a natural way. Another differentiation between the first 39 years and year 40 is beginning in year 40, the gam hamata loy hoya oid biad moisha tamid elel es hat soirach lefiha hechrach kamash biyarnu sham. In the beginning of their sojourn in the desert, Moshe always had the staff with him. The staff had inscribed on it the name of God, and through it, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to conduct affairs l'mala min ha'teva. But in year 40, Moshe did not have the staff with him at all times. And therefore, again, this is indicative of this transformation and transition that heading into Eretz Yisrael already in year 40, the natural process began. Now, this differentiation that is found in Sefer Bamidbar, we now see, and it becomes apparent to us in reading the words of the Medrash. So if you look at number 4 in the Medrash, Amar Rav Simon, Chamesh Pa'amim Ksiv Kan Oira Keneged Chamisha Chamshei Torah. In the beginning of Bereshis, it says Or 5 times, corresponding to the 5 books of Moses. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. God said, let there be light, Keneged Sefer Bereshis. That God was busy with, and He created the world. So Bereshis is the book of life, light. Vayehi Or Keneged Sefer Ve'ile Shemois Shebo Yatsu Yisrael Me'afil La'ira. Sefer Shemois is when the Jewish people left Egypt and we left darkness to light. So therefore it says Vayehi Or. Vayara Selekim Es Ha'or Ki Toiv. God saw the light was good. That's Keneged Vayikra, which is full of many, many halachas, and therefore it's a book of light. But then it says, Vayavdel Elohim, God separated, Bein Ha'or Uvein HaChoshech. That corresponds to Bamidbar, which separates between those who left Egypt and then those who went into Israel. So amazingly, we see in this Medrash that the Medrash refers to Bamidbar as the separation between light and darkness. Light refers to the generation of the desert. Darkness refers to those who entered Israel. One would not have expected the words darkness to be in reference to those who entered Israel. But nevertheless, this is how the Medrash describes it. And as we're going to see in the Netziv, that's because the generation in the desert, their affairs were conducted l'mala min ha'teva, they saw God openly, and therefore they were analogous to light, not so those who entered Israel. where they had to fight their own wars and till the soil, so they are called darkness. And then, Vayikra Lekim La'or Yoyim, that's Keneged Mishnah Torah, which is also Malay Halacha. So back in the Netziv, that this differentiation, we're in the first paragraph, about six lines from the end, Ve'al Zeh HaShanoi HaMatsuyin B'Zeh HaSefer, Amru Chazal, based on this differentiation, Chazal say, Vayavdel Elohim Bein Ha'aru Vein HaChoshech, this is Bamidbar, which is Mavdil between those who left Egypt and those who came into Israel. Dibahalichas Yotzim Mitzrayim, because those who left Egypt, Hoya Or HaShgachas HaShem, Moifia Le'in Koil, the light of God's divine providence manifested openly, Shehu Kvod Hashem Etachlas Habriyah. That was an honor to God and the purpose of creation. Masha'in Kain Bahalichos Boi Haaretz, as opposed to those who entered Israel. Hay Hashgach Mechusa, the providence was covered over. Varak Hamabit Ba'ayin Yafa, only someone who looked with a very careful eye, Hayamargishba, was able to see that it was God leading them, like someone walking in the night. Or only upon occasion the Hashgacha became apparent, like a flash of lightning. So, the theme of Bamidbar is the transition from an existence of light, where God's providence is openly manifest, to an existence of darkness, where God is now hiding His open providence, and He's more under the cover. But this is apparent, and the contrast between the first three books and the fifth book is most apparent in the difference between the two countings. As we're going to see, there are a number of discrepancies between the two countings in Bamidbar and Pinchas that highlight the difference in the Hashgacha that Hashem was showing Klal Yisrael. Achin ikar ha-hefresh hazeh hoya nikar b'shnei ha-pkudim shahayu shnei inyanim shavim b'chaymer ha-masa. This difference was recognized in the two countings that in terms of physical objective, the two countings were trying to accomplish the same. However, but it changed in its purpose and in its form based on the difference in the realities of the Jewish people. The first time in Bamidbar that God counted the Jewish people, it was based on the order of the degalim of the four ruchais. Basically, God counted them based on the degalim, which of course represented the chariot of the Shechina. And Ephraim came before Menashe, even though Menashe is older, but Ephraim is of greater spiritual stature. And therefore, the first counting, which was reflective of their higher level of reality of God being manifest openly, Ephraim comes before Menashe. Not so in the counting of Pinchas in the 40th year. There Menashe comes before Ephraim. Another difference. In the counting in this week's parsha, the head of each tribe had to come from that tribe. Not so the counting in Pinchas. The head of the tribe could come from a different tribe. That's because in Pinchas it was more of a physical count, only to give them physical allotment in the land. So the head of the tribe did not have to come from the tribe. In this week's parsha, it was more of a spiritual accounting. To the point where, by contrasting these two countings, we see what the whole purpose of Sefer Bamidbar is, namely, it is a transition of the Jewish people from open, manifest Hashgacha to Hashgacha B'Derech HaTeva. Now, says in Netziv, Mamish Adavar Oyoim V'Noira. This gives us new insight in number 11 on your sheets into that which the Gemara says. We know that in Sefer Bamidbar, there's actually an opinion that there are three books within Bamidbar, hence seven books in the Chumash, that Vayhibin Saya Ha'arayin, the Gemara says, Vayhibin Saya Ha'arayin. Okay, I have to call back. Okay, so we're just continuing. The Netziv says, based on this premise, that the whole function of Sefer Bamidbar is to describe the transition from what he calls Ar to Choshech, to open manifest revelation of providence to B'Derech HaTeva. This explains the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuftes Vav Amid Beis, going on to Kuftes Zayin Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says, Vayihi ben Soya Ha'oroin, Vayomer Moshe, this parsha, Hashem made simonim, upside down nuns, before and after to say it's out of place. But Rebbe says, no, it's in the right place. That's not why they're nuns. The reason why they're nuns is because it's sefer bifnei atzmai. And this really begs the question, how are two psukim, which are 85 letters, a sefer by itself? What makes it a sefer by itself? Doesn't a sefer have to be more substantial? Says the Netziv, this Sefer is actually the turning point between the beginning of Bamidbar, where we're still under the obvious and manifest providence of Hashem, and the end of Bamidbar, where things changed and we were operating b'darach ha-teva. Says the Netziv, Hanira dal pizak avana amru chazal, that vayhi ben sar is a Sefer by itself, to teach, ba'asher ki hascholas hashinoi hoya min vayhi am kemesoyninim. Do you know when this transition began? Do you know when we turned from light to darkness? When we complained by the Mesoyninim? Because here's the problem. God was dealing with us b'midas teferes, which is open, manifest, divine providence. So when God is right near us and we sin, so we are culpable for immediate punishment. Because Hashem was, so to speak, at that point, like our shadow on our right side. And this was very hard for us to live up to be soivel, to the point where we were no longer able to rely and to operate on such a high level. And we wanted to, and we needed to operate on a level more b'derech ha-teva. And that's why at the end of Bamidbar, we sent out spies recognizing our new reality. Until ultimately, we lost any connection with the open revelation of the Midas Teferes, and now we're operating the way we operate today. So therefore, this little parsha of Ahibin Soya, it might be small in Kamos, but it is actually great in Echos, because that is the turning point that divides these two realities of the Jewish people. And therefore, each part of Sefer Bamidbar is a Sefer by itself. Because the definition of a sefer is a subject, a self-enclosed subject. So we could say the beginning of Bamidbar is the subject of open revelation, the end of Bamidbar is Derech HaTeva, and the subject of Ahi Ben Soya is the turning point. Now based on this thesis, based on this Hakdama, I want to examine a number of comments that the Netziv makes in Sefer Bamidbar in general, which fit into this theme and will give us added insight into the role of Sefer Bamidbar in the Torah. So let's go to number 5, Parshas Chukas. The pasuk says, "Kach es hamata," take the stick. What do you mean, take it? Doesn't Moshe hold it at all times? Isn't it always with him? Says the Netziv in number 6, "Hamata hayadua shel Moshe," the well-known staff of Moshe. "Umizeh she'amar likach," from the fact that God says, "Take it," mevur shelo hayoy b'yad Moshe b'tmidus. That implies Moshe did not always hold it. He says it does say in Shemais also, take the stick. Says in Etziv, there the interpretation is readily at hand. Because there the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Moshe used our own stick. So sure he had to take it. But here it's Moshe's stick. Why is he taking it? The answer is because this is Sefer Bamidbar. And we are no longer operating with open miracles. V'hachi mevor b'samach v'yikach Moshe's mate milifnei Hashem. V'hatam hu mishum sheteva hamata yimsug lasas nisim niglam. The function of the mate was to make open miracles. Mishum hachi hayim mechune ha'oisois. Right? Who remembers in the Haggadah? Ha'oisois ze hamate. The mate was defined by miracles because that's what it constantly accomplished. And it was already explained that in the 40th year, the kimat, the miraculous reality, began to stop. Therefore, at this juncture, when Moshe had to perform a ad hoc miracle, so Hashem said, look, on this occasion, take the staff. But it wasn't something that Moshe kept with him at all times. Okay. Another makom where the Netziv speaks about this is in the Hamek Davar, in Bamidbar, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf. This is by the first counting. It says, V'olav Mate Menashe. Okay, let me see if I could get a chumash here. V'olav Mate Menashe. I'm just getting a chumash. One second. the Netziv feels that this is a very unusual expression. Again, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf. Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf. You see, everywhere else, Dega Machane, Reuven, Umate God. V'hachoynim olav matei Shimon, degel machanei Ephraim, v'olav matei Menashe, u'matei Binyamin. What does it mean, v'olav matei Ephraim? It doesn't say that by Yehuda, it says, machanei Yehuda, it says, v'hachoynim olav matei Yisachar. So what does it mean, v'olav? Meshuna Lashon Kan, and there's a nafkamina. Earlier it says Choynim Alav. Choynim Alav is a katan relying on a gadol, and his encampment in fulfilling his needs is dependent on a greater party. But here it doesn't say V'hachoynim Alav Matem Menashe. It says V'alav Matem Menashe. V'alav implies the das of the gadol is on the katan. Menashe was the leader. What does this mean? Because even though, like we said in the Hakdama, Ephraim is mentioned first because he was spiritually greater, because in the Midbar, the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was miraculous, and this was the great power of Ephraim, but nevertheless, in terms of on conducting everyday affairs, Halichos Olam, Menashe was the Gadol. That is why in Parshas Pinchas, Menashe is before Ephraim. Because when they entered the land, where they were being counted to enter the land, and they needed more of a natural procedure, Menashe is before Ephraim. So here it says, V'alav. V'alav means that at the end of the day, practically, Menashe was still greater. So again, you see that the Netziv is stringing this theme throughout the Sefer, where there are a number of discrepancies and nuances that are only explained based on this approach. Let's look at number 8 and 9. In Bamidbar it says, Se'u esroish kol adas b'nei Yisrael l'mishpachoysam, l'veis avoysam, b'mispar she'mois kol zachar l'gogoloysam mi ben asim shana v'mala. And in Pinchas it says, Se'u esroish kol adas b'nei Yisrael mi ben asim shana l'mala. Leveis avoysam. In Bamidbar, leveis avoysam is juxtaposed to mishpachoysam. And in Pinchas, it is separated. Says in Netziv, Samuch l'roish kol adas b'nei Yisrael, shahaya hatsiva shlo yeroish mishevet echad al b'nei shevet acher. Juxtaposed to the words roish kol adas b'nei Yisrael, the leader, the roish, needs to be l'mishpachoysam leveis avoysam. But in Pinchas, the roish is separated from Lebeis Avoysam. V'hainu d'chsev l'mishpachoysam Lebeis Avoysam l'fnei mi-ben esrim shana. Therefore it says l'mishpachoysam Lebeis Avoysam before mi-ben esrim shana. Because there it's going on the age of those who went out to war, and this pasuk is talking about the leaders. So basically, in Bamidbar, the leader of every tribe had to come from the tribe. It was Roish ad Kadas Nei Yisrael, Leveis Avoysam, Masha'im came the minion, the Parshas Pinchas, as opposed to the number and the count in Parshas Pinchas, where it says, Su'es Rosh Kladas, Me'i Somi Ben Esrim Shana Vamala, Leveis Avoysam. There it juxtaposes Beis Avoysam to 20, and not to Rosh B'nai Yisrael. That's because the counting in Pinchas was merely to distribute the land. And the only thing the leader had to be was 20 years old, but he did not have to come from the Shevet. Like Yair ben Menashe was from Shevet Yehuda, was the head of Shevet Menashe. And he even inherited with them. And there were other examples. So in the Midbar, where they were traveling, L'kavad HaShechina, it was Roish Kadas Me Yisrael Leveis Avoysam. But in Pinchas, it was Roish Mi ben Asim Shana Vamala. But it did not have to be the Roish Leveis Avoysam. Marv Raboisai, two more points that the Netziv makes in explaining the using this principle to explain episodes and incidents in Sefer Bamidbar. One very important one is the Shlach, Parsha Shlach. Shlach Lecha Anoshim, we're all familiar with what Rashi teaches us. Shlach Lecha Anoshim, Rashi explains, send according to your das, but I am not commanding you. Says in Etziv, Shlach Lecha, Einoi b'mashma elak maikach lecha, lech lecha, shu mitzvah k'mashmai. Really, lecha just means it's a command. Ela ha-hechruch lefarish hachi k'mavur b'sefer devarim. But Rashi is sort of compelled to explain that Hashem was saying, do it for yourself. Like it's explained in Sefer Devarim, Shemetchila achima yisrael b'kshuzais. That in the beginning, only Klal Yisrael asked for this. Avo mikomakim iev shalakim gamz. In other words, really the Netziv says, Shlach Lecha is the command by God. And it doesn't really mean do it, but I don't want you to. It means God is commanding them to. But you do have to say that it came from Klal Yisrael, because in Sefer Devarim, it was Klal Yisrael's idea. But still, you can't distort the Pasuk. It's still God commanding them to send Meraglim. In other words, the Netziv feels that Shlach Lecha means God says, do it, I want you to do it. And Ein Mikro Yotzim Dei Pshutai. And another question is, why now are the Jewish people sending Meraglim when they got to Paran? Why didn't they send Meraglim immediately at Chorev? Says in Etziv, here's the reason. Lefi halichos oylam ateva hayashiluch nachas ureis eichel ve'ezen tzad lichboi sha'aretz. Sending Meraglim was needed on a natural basis, on a natural plane, to see what kind of land is it? How do we conquer it? Like the Ramban writes. Like Klal Yisrael said, let's send men and spy out the land and they'll respond to us which road we should take and which cities we should come to first. So they weren't incredulous. They believed it was a good land. They just wanted to send Meraglim to be able to know how Bederech HaTeva to conquer the land. But if they're roy to enter land or not, they had no doubt about. They just wanted to know how to conquer it. Second column, fourth line. If they're going to conquer Israel in a natural way, it is for sure needed to send out Meraglim. But if they were operating on a supernatural plane, as they had been conducted in the desert until now, in other words, if God is dealing with them on the level of Bereishis Shemais Vayikra, open manifestation of divine providence, which the Netziv calls Teferes, there's no need to send Meraglim. It doesn't matter which city is easier or less fortified or what the strategy in the warfare would be. However, if they were operating in a natural phase, which is Sefer Devarim and the end of Bamidbar, they did need to send out Meraglim. So now, says the Netziv, Hinei ba'amdam b'chayrev, when they stood at Har Sinai v'tchilas nesiyas hamisham, in the beginning of their sojourns, Haya be'emes b'daitim likanazav v'en l'aretz Yisrael, as they stood at Sinai, their intention was to enter Israel immediately, and they didn't need Meraglim. But when they took three travels from Sinai, they saw, they realized, there was no way they would be able to keep up behaving in a way that they would deserve God's rachamim, even though He's so close with them. Because God's Gilui Shechina amongst them caused them great suffering, because they felt they couldn't live up to it, and whenever they made a mistake, they were liable immediately, and the Malachi Mavis came, and they could not stand up to that. They couldn't be so careful. They didn't feel they were eligible to stand in the courtyard of the king. And therefore, Bacharu lamoid b'chutz v'ashchinatia b'kirba m'midas malchutz. They preferred to live with God where God was a bit more distant. In other words, they could not live up to what Tiferes demanded of them. They felt that they needed to exist where God's divine presence was not so intimate with them, so that if they would slip up, they would not be held accountable to such a great extent. This midah is called Malchus, like we explain in Sefer Devarim in the Pasuk, Panim b'fanim dibar Hashem imachem. Literally, face to face, God speaks with you. But that also implies that in the way that a man acts with God, in that vein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocates to him. Therefore, God said, look, you want to live on a natural basis? You don't want me to be with you? You're not so comfortable with me so close to you? You want to send out Meraglim? You have to send out Meraglim then. But you should not have wanted it. In other words, you're doing it ladaitcha, but you need to do it. I'm telling you, you need to do it, but you only need to do it because that's the reality that you're choosing. Al kein eskimu l'shalech meraglim v'ktiyaknis b'dracha teva. So this is very interesting. In other words, the Netziv learns, God told them to send out meraglim, but he's telling them to send out meraglim because you're choosing that type of existence. Another point, says the Netziv, and that is, Chazal say at the end of Bahalo Yischa, Eldad and Medad prophesied that Moshe will die and Yeshua will bring us into Eretz Yisrael. And that was sort of the predecessor to Shlach, to the Meraglim. Now, when they prophesied that Moshe would die, that's not definitive. Moshe thought that was what God perhaps decreed, but through his prayer, he could change the Gzeirah. But once they prophesied that Yeshua would bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, that's a nevuah letoiva on Yeshua. That can never change. We know that there's a principle, a prophecy for good can never change. God will never relent on that. So Moshe knew that there's no way in the world he would lead the Jewish people into Israel. Yehoshua would have to, but he thought maybe he would join. Moshe never prayed, I want to bring the Jewish people into Israel. He just prayed, I want to enter Israel. I want to see it. Not as the machnes, not as the one who brings the Jewish people in. So now we understand that after Eldad and Medad said Joshua is going to bring them into Israel, and Moshe would just accompany them, we understand why the Jewish people asked for the Meraglim. So long as Moshe was the Manik Hadar and he was allowing the Jewish people to be eligible to Midas HaTiferes, so they didn't need Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu's power and Kayach was untouchable, and Moshe would have just brought them in. And that's why, very interestingly, the Netziv says, in the war against Amalek, where the hour needed a war, B'derech HaTeva, Moshe didn't fight the war against Amalek. Why didn't Moshe fight the war against Amalek? Because God wanted that war to be natural. So Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain and Yeshua went to fight the war. So Yeshua is a man of nature, of Teva. Moshe is a man of miracle. And therefore, when the Jews heard at the end of Bahalo Yischa that Joshua will bring them into the land, they said, okay, our reality of Tiferes is no longer. We're going to be operating with what is called Malchus. Joshua is bringing us in, and therefore, God, we need Meraglim. And then finally, the Netziv says, Vinei beparshas Devarim. In Devarim, Ksiv, Shabiyoysa Mechoyv, that when they say, Anchoyv, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Boyu Urishues Haaretz. In Devarim, God told them, go inherit the land. But when they were in Kadesh Barnea, Moshe said, Alei Reish. But God knew they were not prepared for that, to be in accordance with Gilui Shechina without Meraglim. And therefore, when the Jewish people presented the idea to Moshe, and Moshe understood that in fact the Jewish people are now on a lower level of Teva, Moshe understood, Lefi Madrei Gosim, this is what they needed. Because on the level of Tiferes, they would have blown it, and Midas Hadin would have struck them. So Hashem said, yeah, Shlach Lecha, that's what you need. I don't like the fact that you put yourself on this existence. I would have preferred that you remain on the level of Tiferes. But now that you're on the level of Malchus, then you do need to send Meraglim. So now I command you. So the Netziv learns, Shlach Lecha is a command. Lahana Oscha. And Moshe, it was good in Moshe's eyes, so that Klal Yisrael should not be destroyed, but Hashem still was not inherently happy that the Jewish people had descended to that level. And this is all based on the following principle called panim befanim, face to face. And then it's Siv in Sefer Devarim in Va'aschanan. And I think this is just a magnificent treatment of Sefer Bamidbar. I mean, I saw this many years ago, but it slipped out of the forefront of my mind. I believe, you know, I feel I have a much more profound understanding of Bamidbar. Bamidbar is a Sefer of transition of Klal Yisrael. Bereishis is the creation of the world. Shemois is the exile and redemption. Vayikra is a book of mitzvahs. Bamidbar is the transition of Klal Yisrael from miraculous to the natural. And this is called panim b'fanim. Says in Etziv, the mashmois, the implication of panim b'fanim, is in that face that you show to God, in that vein, He will act with you. And this incorporates two ideas. Number one, in Torah, in Derech HaLimud. The more that a person prepares himself in his learning, to that extent the person will gain siyata d'shmaya, heavenly assistance. Because we know, says the Netziv, that at Sinai, not everyone understood at that holy gathering to the same level. The Medrash Rabbah says, Koyel Hashem b'koyach. Not Kol Hashem b'koychoy, but Kol Hashem b'koyach. Meaning, based on the preparation of every individual, to that extent, they were zoicha to Torah. This is panim el panim. You show God X amount of amelus, God will show you X amount of Torah. You show the Ribbono Shel Olam added amelus, Ribbono Shel Olam will show you extra havana. And this was a reflection and an instruction to future generations on their understanding of Torah, that the kavana panim b'panim, the more you prepare and elevate yourself to that extent, you'll understand Torah. But this also is a reflection of Hashem's hashkacha, that it's lefi ma'aseh ha'adam, that Hashem said you're going to be mamlechas kayanim v'goy kadosh. These are two levels of hashkacha. Either atem tiuli, you will be mine, that the way you act, b'tar avan gemos chasadim, that will be my level of hashgacha to you. Or, you will just get hashgacha on a lower level. Mikozel lamdu inyim panim b'fanim b'chavana ashniya, which is halichos ha'adim ha'ashem ha'avodim gemos chasadim gam kein. So Marv Rabbeisai, this is the principle of panim b'panim. Panim b'panim teaches us that the way we accord ourselves with God and the reality, our reality in observance of Torah mitzvahs, if we are not to the level that we are connected to Torah mitzvahs, to the level that we are wholehearted in our faith in Hashem, to the level that our emunah is deep, to the level that our dedication to Torah is full, to that level God will deal with us supernaturally. But as we slacken off and we live more of a natural existence, which is the level that we are on today, to that level we are not zoicha to see Hashem open and manifest. But still, it is in accordance with our particular level. And this transition occurred in Sefer Bamidbar, and this is most recognizable in the contrast in the countings of the beginning of Bamidbar to the end, where in the beginning the Nasi had to come from the tribe, in the end not so. In the beginning Ephraim led his group, in the end it was Menashe. And because the contrast is recognized in the two countings, the whole Sefer is called Bamidbar. And that is the deeper meaning of why Sefer Bamidbar is referred to as Vayavdel Elokim Bein Ha'or Uvein HaChoshech, between the light of open Hashgacha and the darkness of closed Hashgacha. Furthermore, that is the meaning of how Vayihi Ben Soya is a Parsha B'fnei Atzmei, because it is at that juncture of the Aver of the Mesoinenim that this transition occurred. So this is the Netziv's treatment to his introduction to Bamidbar, and he elaborates on it in Parshas Chukas, and in the beginning of Bamidbar, in two places, in Parshas Shlach, and also in Parshas Va'aschanan. We'll hold it over here, and now we're going to do one more shiur on Shavuos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.